an alcoholic. And they're all laughing because they think this is a dumb topic, which is sad. I'm an alcoholic. You know, that means that I don't often know, you know, when I'm going to drink again, and I never know how much I'm going to drink. And, you know, a few things about me. We'll start with, you know, like who I am in AA, which is the fact that three things that are very, very important to me are that I have a sponsor. His name's Chris. I've had him since the day after I got sober, after my sobriety date. I have a home group. That's this home group. I've always had a home group. And I have a sobriety date, which is July 22nd of 2005. And I got sent to AA in 1987, I think prematurely. I think it was, you know, pretty much society was kind of messed up. But they wanted me to go to AA or jail or both. And I didn't do very good at either of them. So I had 18 years of coming in and out of AA, being around AA, getting sober for a while, you know, like doing, you know, what I thought people said in meetings were like AA is like a buffet. You take what you want and you leave the rest. And that did not work. I always drank again. And so when I say, you know, I'm an alcoholic, I could never stay stopped. And I remember I made many plans to stop. I would often, you know, there was a period of time where I was still working and, you know, like in the morning I'd be like, I'm not going to do this tonight. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And then by 3 o'clock, I'd be like, well, I could just have a drink on the way home. And then, you know, I would do it again. I would spend all my money and everything else. And, you know, the thing about my sobriety date is I didn't pick it. I didn't decide I was going to go to AA. None of that stuff happened. What happened was, you know, I got a moment of consciousness in a period where I was drinking myself in and out of consciousness, thinking I was going to die. I had sent my daughter away to visit her mom, and then I took away her plane ticket to come back because I was pretty sure I was going to die that summer. And, you know, the phone rang in the morning, and, like, I heard it. I was, like, passed out on the floor, kind of by it. I answered it. I just remember my daughter yelling at me for a long time, it seemed like. I don't really remember what she said. There were some things about, you know, what if I want to get married? Who's going to walk me down the aisle? Like, normal kid things, which I thought was unusual for her. And anyway, I went over across the street to the hospital where the psych ward was that I had been in this would be the sixth time I was going to be in there in 2 years. And I remember I sat down, I kind of hid behind a tree, right? Because I still had a bottle of port wine and I didn't want to like leave that at home. So I drank it and smoked cigarettes hiding behind this tree on this hospital campus. And you know, and then I went into the emergency room and I did what I normally do because I am a selfish son of a bee. And I said my chest hurt, so they have to immediately put me on a stretcher and take me back because I don't want to wait 36 hours for them to admit me. And this doctor came. She was the head of psychiatry and she was not happy. She was yelling at me. She's like, what the hell do you want? Why are you here again? And I told her I think I'm going to die if I don't drink and I kind of want to stop. And, you know, like I start shaking really bad and I get seizures now. I'm pretty sure I'm going to die. And she argued with me for a while and finally she agreed to let me in. And, you know, she's like, but you have to sit here for 24 hours before they'll let you in. And I remember at one point, like I started like, things started getting weird, you know, you start to go into a seizure and things get kind of weird and you start shaking. And I remember hearing this nurse say, you know, he's starting to have seizures, should I medicate him? And that doctor was like, no, let him feel it. Maybe he'll remember this time. And I was like, what a bitch. Like, Jesus, how could she do that, right? And so I get up into the psych ward, and in the middle of the night, sometime in the next few days, in between seizures, I just remember saying, make this stop. I don't care what happens. Just make it stop, you know? And I didn't care if I died right then or what. And then a little bit later, this nurse came in, and it was the same nurse that always, you know, was there in the middle of the night. And she's like, oh, honey, you just need to let those people help you. And I knew she was talking about AA. And, you know, the next day or the day before, I don't know, people brought a meeting in, you know, from AA. I judged them. They were young. They were, like, clean cut. Like, you know, they're the age of my kids, and they're, you know, bringing a meeting in. And, like, I'm like, how can they help me? But at the end, I told them, like, I don't think this is going to work for me. I've been going to AA for years. I can't stay sober. And they're like, why don't you just call us? And they gave me a book, and they gave me their numbers. And I did. And, you know, one of them called me back. He became my sponsor. You know, he's the guy who's still my sponsor. And, you know, those things, sponsor, sobriety date, home group, haven't changed since that. It's the longest I've done anything. Well, my home group has changed because I moved here. I take that back. But it's the longest relationship I have, except for, you know, like, my family who, like, can't just not know me anymore. My kids who, like, you know, they have to be my kids. Whether they talk to me or not, they're still my kids, right? But I never had relationships like that. Like, I was talking with my sponsor yesterday. I talked to him several times a week, you know, and the reason I value this my sobriety date so much is surrendering was really, really hard for me. And I heard this guy talk about surrender in the context of World War II in Japan, and I'm not a historian, and I'm sure I'll mess this all up, but there was a general that went on to this aircraft carrier and surrendered the entire country of Japan to the U.S. without condition. And for the first time in my life, I understood without condition. Like, I'm going to do in AA whatever they say. I don't care. I don't want to go back to the way I was living. And it seemed a little extreme, you know, especially I got sober in a young people's group. I'm 40. They're, like, in their early 20s, and I'm listening to them for life advice. It was a little weird. But it worked. It worked so much better than anything I could have came up with. And my life changed, and I changed because of doing the steps. And, you know, without that moment in time, like, you know, if they would have came the next day and not that day, if I would have, like, you know, maybe not said that prayer and just been like, medicate me, I wouldn't be here. And I'd probably not be alive, you know, because I was pretty dead at that point. So I'm just really grateful to be here. I love AA, and, you know, I think these things are really important. So that's all I got. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Jerry. And